Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Breeders' Cup 2020. Obviously, very different from years past, as there will be no fans Friday and Saturday at Keeneland, but the Breeders' Cup people doing the right thing. They're going to wheel back to Keeneland in 2022 after a stop at Del Mar next autumn because, you know, the 2015 Breeders' Cup with American Pharoah and others was so successful at Keeneland. Obviously, the world in turmoil this year. But hopefully, a terrific day, a weekend of racing. If you haven't followed my work through the years on Capital Off-Track Betting, this is my personal favorite time of year. A little bit greater than the Triple Crown. I think the wagering aspect for the Breeders' Cup is unlike anything we've seen before. When the Breeders' Cup first started, well, first off, I was 21 years of age, so it's one of the few sporting events that I've seen evolve through the years, and the wagering menu wasn't nearly as attractive in the beginning as it quickly evolved into. And going forward, you should know that as much as I, you know, love pick threes, pick four, pick fives, the mathematics behind it, it's not the way that I wager. I'm basically an exacta and a trifecta player. My bankroll doesn't allow for a superfecta play, but boy, I'll tell you, this weekend, you take the rubber band off of your bankroll because the reward factor in the majority of the races. Now, we have a couple of races this weekend, including a seven-horse field. That might not be the case, but boy, by and large, what a smorgasbord of wagering opportunities. And one of the things that I do is I'm probably going to spend all day Thursday writing out the bets I want, because boy, it is a very tense situation once the races start. I've been thinking about these horses for months, but ever since the pre-entries come out, I don't want to change my mind at the last moment and then regret it. So this is the one day, the one wagering weekend that I believe in six horse exacta boxes in the majority of races. I find that to be a positive return on investment. I find betting multiple horses to win races has been quite attractive. My big play is usually a trifecta par wheel, two horses on top, five horses under, and about eight horses in the third spot when the field size warrants it. There's a couple races where, because of the morning line on particular horses, a win bet will certainly come into play for me. But let's kick it off. Friday afternoon. Well, Friday is going to be the juvenile day, an idea they came up with a couple of years ago to put the two-year-old races on Friday. And even though two of them were at the start of the Breeders' Cup, the juvenile and juvenile fillies, I think it's a terrific idea to have the two-year-old racing, and I would probably also have the Breeders' Cup turf sprint on Friday afternoon. But we're going to kick it off with the Breeders' Cup juvenile turf sprint. This is a grade two at 5.5 furlongs. And as we go through this, I'm looking at the main body runners. Now, we still have 72 hours out. They do draw also eligibles for the Breeders' Cup, and in this race, we have a couple of them, but there's 14 in the main body. Interestingly enough, the 14th horse is Golden Pal, who you see at 8-5 on the morning line. And last time we saw Golden Pal in the afternoon was August 21st at Saratoga, winning the Skidmore Stakes. That was the third career start, first start since coming back from Ascot. And he was brilliant, the offspring of Uncle Mo, on that afternoon. And unfortunately, the way racing has come in the 20th century, heck, we're going to have a favorite who hasn't run since Independence Day. We'll be talking about that later on. But Golden Pal, she drew outside here. And I have to tell you, I still think she's very dangerous in here. Why? Because he is incredibly quick. We saw this last year with Balboa Bay in the turf sprint. Boy, Irad Ortiz, I think, is going to have a chance to clear this field and get over and be very tough in here. So if your first inclination is, The morning line favorite at 8-5 has drawn outside in a field of 14. He's a toss. I might not toss so quickly, but let's go through these horses with some rapid thoughts right away, and we'll go from the inside. Mighty Gurkha, this is a European runner who's adding blinkers in the seventh career start. You see 20-1 on the morning line, did win a Group 3 race over Labor Day weekend. Up next, you have Windy City Red. Jose Valdivia Jr. gets the mount back, the third career start. This horse comes out of the Speakeasy Stakes, which is the West Coast prep race for this, and a third place finish. I thought almost an even race for this runner. I didn't think threatened the winner at all. Next, Aiden O'Brien with his flotilla begins with Lipizzaner, who is making the eighth career start, comes out of a victory in a listed stakes race. That race, now you talk about the other side of the scale, you have Golden Pal, who hasn't run since the third week in August. Lipizzaner will have 13 days off. Now, 30 years ago, that would be commonplace in the Breeders' Cup, but nowadays, extremely rare. Ryan Moore gets them out. County final, Steve Asmussen's runner off the board recently in the Futurity, which is the New York prep for this race. Cowan, Steve Asmussen, another runner for him. Ricardo Santana has them out, comes out of a second place finish in the Indian summer race. That was the prep at Keeneland on October 4th, so has the race over the track. You Better Believe It comes out of a victory in a Group 2 race. That was in Great Britain, makes the sixth career start. Momos, a big price in here, is going to add blinkers for the fourth career start. Coming in from California, Wesley Ward has Amazati Yipilo, who won the Speakeasy Stake at Santita. Previous to that, we saw this horse at Saratoga and the Bolton Landing. After 5, making the third career start, this is a maiden. Well, we've seen maiden win Breeders' Cup races. Bodenheimer, the Washington bred, won the aforementioned Indian Summer Stakes on the front end at Keeneland. Into the Sunrise, another Wesley Ward runner exits the Bourbon Stakes, which is a two-turn juvenile race at Keeneland. Dirty Dangle comes in from Woodbine for the third career start, 2nd of July. And Golden Pal rounds out the form. I like this race. I mean, you have to get over the hurdle of Golden Pal. I call it the Mount Everest angle, which is, I think there's one extremely serious contender that I need to beat. And even at the top, I said, I do think Golden Pal is going to pop right out of the gate. I mean, see it this way. They're going to be loading into the gate. Golden Pal, you know, if nothing changes, will be the last one in. He's going to be in the gate probably 3 seconds if nothing goes wrong. And I know that's a lot to ask with 14 juveniles, but loads in, springs the latch. Irad Ortiz clears the field, is able to get over, and maybe in about two different stages can really get over to, you know, the two or three path with Irad. This horse has brilliant early quickness, so that is not the hurdle for me. But After 5 for me and Dirty Dangle, that's the 9 and the 12. These are the two horses that I am keying in this race. Let me touch on After 5 first. Debuted at Kentucky Downs, very unique racing surface in the United States. Finished 2nd, beating a nose at nearly 10-1. And then was made the favorite in the Futurity Stakes, and albeit lost the 2nd of July, who was in here, boy. Going forward, I like After 5. I was a little surprised to see 6-1 on the morning line, but that's okay. The trip was down inside, got running late. I like the chance to improve, you know, moving forward a lot. With After 5. To me, he's a major player in here. The juveniles, as we all know, 3 weeks, a month in between, much growth can be. I liked what I saw at the end of the Futurity. So After 5 has been a major thought in my mind since the pre-entries came out. I think he's drawn well. Another horse who is certain to be a big price is Dirty Dangle. Most recent effort was in the Woodbine Cares Stakes, and if this race has a lot of hitting on the front side, which I think there will be with Golden Pal into the Sunrise and others, I'm hoping to get pace right off the bat in the Breeders' Cup races. And Dirty Dangle, to me, is going to get lost in the wagering shuffle. I just don't see any way around that. The third career start is an off-the-pacer, and I thought the effort at Woodbine showed there's more to this runner going down the road. Now, I didn't see anything written, but you can kind of piece it together. I'm pretty sure this horse was privately sold after the victory in the Woodbine Cares because Ralph Biamonte was the trainer. One of the owners was also a Biamonte. Now it's in the Mark Cassie barn for Clip Thoroughbreds. We're not going to see a yellow and brown silks. So I think it's safe to say we had a private sale on Dirty Dangle. And for all hockey fans, I think they're going to go to this horse also. Tyler Gaffleone is scheduled to get the mount. To me, Dirty Dangle is one of the horses that I love over the two-day Breeders' Cup weekend. A big price here. And if you know me, I like two horses. I always prefer the horse that might be about three times the price. But in the opener of the Breeders' Cup races, the Juvenile Turf Sprint, we're going to have a truly legitimate and deserving favorite. That's going to be Golden Pal on the outside. Last seen in the afternoon, winning the Skidmore Stakes at Saratoga. So that'll be 2.5 month layoff. Is 8-5 with the brilliant Irad Ortiz. Clearly the favorite in this race. But for me, I'm going to be keying after 5 and Dirty Dangle. Underneath, Golden Pal will be in this. I think he is a serious player in here. And I would not be surprised if he makes every poll a winning one. 2nd of July, who was scored at big prices already twice in the career, in the debut and in the futurity, he will be under it. And also, Cowan for Steve Asmussen. He comes out of the Keeneland race, the Indian Summer. He's the one, Cowan is the one that I want out of that race. So to me, I'm going to be looking at Dirty Dangle and After 5 as my key horses. Cowan, 2nd of July, and Golden Pal underneath. And then one of my rules of thumb is, in these races, practically anybody can run third. That's why I truly spread in the third spot in my trifecta par wheels. It all depends on your bankroll and how many horses you can buy. In a perfect world, I can afford to buy all of them. I typically can't, so about 7 or 8. But for me, Dirty Dangle and After 5 will be my key horses kicking off the Breeders' Cup races. Race number 7 on Friday afternoon, scheduled to go at approximately 3:10 in the afternoon, is the first Grade 1 race of the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and just my little soapbox moment here. And I strongly feel this way. This race should be a mile and a 16th, not a mile. I think it would be a truer, fairer test. And I do think the Breeders' Cup, which carries strong championship implications, not that the Juvenile Turf does so much, but I think a truer, fairer test would be at a mile and 16th when running for $1 million. And so that's my take on these races. And quite frankly, I just don't know why it isn't why they really shorten up to a mile in many of the cases in the United States, whether it's the Bourbon or the Pilgrim, which are run at a mile and 16th. Now you shorten up to a mile, but we'll see if maybe they can get that corrected. Change is probably the better verb, but all right, full field in here. And a couple also eligibles here, the 15 and the 16. But I'm gonna focus on the 14 in the main body. And wow, I mean, just tip my hand here. This is another race where, you know, I fancy a horse in here, but you know, the Juvenile Fridays, I mean, these horses can change so much in between starts 2 and 3. Give them a month, 5 weeks off, I mean, but so take a price in here, and then looking at the board, I thought this was exactly why the Breeders' Cup was developed, for people who likes to bet on horses. Mutasapi, 5-1, number 6, is the favorite. How often do you see a 5-1 morning line favorite? And that's just part of the, I mean, and the full field in here. And I've got to tell you, I think the morning line odds did a great job. I wouldn't make anybody 3-1 in this race. So let's start from the inside and go right to the rail. This was the opener. Sealaway won the opener on Ark Day by 8 lengths, Group 1 race. And just get this out of the way. In the daily racing form, the official turf condition at Longchamp on Ark Day was heavy. Boy, folks, you watch this race, and maybe it's just a perception that I have of heavy going and seeing clods coming up. Boy, I didn't see that in Sealaway's victory on Ark Day. I really didn't. I thought the course looked firm. I mean, that's how, you know, out of whack I am with that rating, and I thought Sealaway was brilliant, and I don't think it was heavy going. So I think he's going to get a firm turf course at Keeneland. They haven't been on it, so to speak, in over a month. I know it rained early in the week. It's supposed to be nice. Heck, if they have the type of winds we had in the Capital District on Monday, it'll dry out rapidly. So Sealaway, to me, if you're looking at the daily racing form or whatever sheets you use, and you see an 8-lane victory, and you think it was on heavy going, and you think the going led to the dramatic victory. I mean, to each their own, but boy, watching the race, which is easy to find on YouTube, it didn't look heavy to me in the opener on Ark Day. So Sealaway, to me's victory was emphatic and not driven by the course condition. Continuing with the Euros, new mandate comes in. Frankie Dettori has the mount on this runner, who is 3-5. Most recently won at Newmarket in a Group 2. That was on September 26th. Number 3 is Alberta for Brad Cox. Adding blinkers after the defeat at 17-1 in the Bourbon. And I'll just tip my hand here. I have already discussed the two horses that I will be keying in this race, the 1 and the 3, are my two thoughts to start with. Public Sector, Chad Brown's runner, beaten odds on favorite in the recently run Pilgrim. That was the second career start, so this horse has run 8.5 furlongs twice, and now this offspring of Kingman will shorten up to the mile. Cadillac was a good winner of a Group 2 at Leopardstown in Ireland on September 12th. And then in the recently run Group 1, Darley Dewhurst, I thought was really, for a horse running 5th, irrelevant in that race. We'll see if can radically improve here. We get to the morning line favorite at 5-1. Todd Fletcher sends out I wrote this down to pronounce it right. Mutasapi Beck, excuse me. A brilliant winner as the favorite in the recently run Bourbon at Keeneland. Can take nothing away from the Shadwell's performance. The offspring of Into Mischief was razor sharp in the turf debut. From last to first, did it about as easily as can be. And maybe this is just the beginning of a very strong turf run for this offspring of Into Mischief. I do think this is a horse that many people are going to land on. He won at Keeneland, won very impressively, did not get a big fire speed figure. So, to me, the horse to beat in here, but I have it as a wide open race. Fire at Will, Mike Maker's runner, front-end winner of the Pilgrim by Daylight in the third career start, second time on turf. I don't think he's going to get the same type of setup in the Breeders' Cup as we received in the Pilgrim. Attador, I have to be frank, folks. For me, watching and deciding how they're going to come out of the Kentucky Downs races is still very difficult for me. It's a short race. It's an extremely unique course in America. I guess you could just say unique course in America. Long stretches, soft going. I don't know what to make of Attador in here. 9-5 winner in the second career start, the stakes race at Kentucky Downs. Jose Ortiz gets the mount. Irad had ridden this horse in the first two career starts. Don't know what to do with Attador. Number 9 is Battleground. And the odds board is going to tell me what to do with him because, quite frankly, won the last two races, including a Group 2 race, is brilliantly bred by Warfront out of the terrific Found, who is a daughter of Galileo. This horse is 6-1 or higher. I'm interested. Lower, I'm less interested. I know that's counterintuitive, but that's how I roll, ladies and gentlemen. Battleground, to me, has been so-so in the two victories. But in the brilliant hands of Aidan O'Brien, horse last race was July 28th. If this horse gets bet, I'll be going the opposite direction. But if they let this horse get to like 6-1 at the morning line price or higher, Battleground will be in my mix. Abico, Peter Miller's runner, started the career in Europe, has had two starts in the United States, including winning the Santa Anita prep for this race, the Zuna Beach. Gretzky the Great for Mark Cassie. I was actually surprised to see that this horse was 8-1 on the morning line. I thought coming out of the three victories in a row, including winning the Grade 1 Summer Stakes at Woodbine, this horse would be lower. So I'm actually more interested at a higher price. Tyler Gaffione scheduled to get them out for the first time. And the main body wraps up with the three Euros in here. First up, Go Atletico. I thought in the last race, a second place finish beaten less than a length was no threat whatsoever to the winner. At 30-1 on the morning line, number 13, Devil Walla. The problem I have with this horse that might go away is at 100-1 in a field of 14, this horse was very good. Never quit, was down inside, showed good early speed. When I would have thought this horse was going to pack it in, just continued on to run fourth. As a matter of fact, that fourth was in front of Cadillac, the number five's fifth. And you see Cadillac is 6-1 on the morning line, and Devil Walla is 30-1. But Devil Walla was 100-1 in the Dewhurst. And then on the far outside, Michael Bell sends out the Learjet. Now, for me, as I mentioned earlier, I am inside in this race, the 1 and the 3. They particularly interest me. And Abarta, the 3, has been at the top of my list since the pre-entries came out. I felt very confident that when the morning line came out, I'd be double digits, and that's 12-1. I think it'll only get better. I was interested to see who Brad Cox would name as a jockey comes back with the same jock. They add Blinkers as an offspring of Into Mischief. I know that the winner of the Bourbon circled the entire field and was very impressive, but Abarta is, I thought, was impressive on a different level for far different reasons at 17-1, and that's the horse I want going favorite. Seal Away, really, my reasoning for liking this horse is I do think that race on Arc Day will stand up. I don't think it was heavy going. I think the going might be similar to what he receives on Friday afternoon, and at a big price, rounding into form, that's where I want to be. The European other under horses that interest me really are Battleground, who I think could be very sharp in here. Muda Sabek, cannot be left out. I think if I was confident of a horse on Friday hitting the board in a trifecta, it would be him. And the other horse, only because Declaration of War has turned out to be a terrific stallion in North America, Fire at Will, who I don't think will make the front in the Pilgrim and will have a target to shoot at, could be tough. Gretzky the Great is a far better price than I thought he ever would be. That's Eclipse Thoroughbred also. And because any 101 shot that runs as big as Devil Walla did will be in my mix. But the keys to me, for me in wagering in the juvenile turf, is the 1 and the 3 with a bigger focus, here's a surprise, on the longer priced horse, which is in the morning line, number 3, Alberta. And I think when the wagering is done, I see little chance that Alberta can't be or won't be a longer price than Seal Away. All right, up next, the 8th race, one of the original 7, and we have only 7 runners in it, and I think I was doing some math, not counting that old juvenile sprint that we ran about twice. When Hightail won it, was a maiden, and I think it was a field of 5. Also think that was the end of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint, which shocked me. I thought that'd be a race that trainers and owners would galvanize toward, but I have to tell you, it's a 7-horse field, and obviously we won't be having a 6-horse exacta box. Part wheel trifecta is out the window in this race, so for the horizontal players, they probably, this is a more important spot than for me personally, but I do find it a very interesting race, and I'm going to start out of order here because Princess Noor is on the outside. Now, the outside is number 7. Princess Noor is 9-5. Princess Noor has the worst, or tied for worst, buyer speed figures in here. Now, what I mean by that is Thoughtfully's highest buyer speed figure was in the merry-go-round race, the Alcibiades, a 70. Princess Noor has only run in the 70s. Simply Ravishing has 2 80s. V-Quest has an 80s and a 90s. Day Out of the Office has an 80s and a 90s. Girl Daddy has an 80s. Crazy Beautiful has run a 79. I don't think I have seen too many Grade 1 races where the strong morning line favorite, top buyer speed figure, and obviously I'm talking relevant speed figures, not like a turf race with dirt figures or vice versa, is about the 5th best. And yes, Princess Noor has been visually very impressive, winning by daylight the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity and the Grade 2 Chandelier Stakes most recently by a poll. Very interesting. Very interesting. If I mean, Bob Baffert's won the Chandelier Stakes / Oak Leaf 12 times. The Chandelier Stakes recently run, what was it, Field of 5, run in odds order. Doesn't happen very often. But to me, I don't know. I'm supposed to bet against her, aren't I? I mean, her buyer speed figures are extremely mediocre for a 2-year-old. Like, breaking a maiden at 76 buyer, I actually think is good. I've said this many times before. I'd rather have a juvenile break their maiden, especially on debut, somewhere between, like, 74 and, like, 86 room for growth. They run higher than that. I'm like, well, how much better are you going to get? But Princess Noor hasn't advanced on figures, that is, much at all since her debut. And she's got 3 races in the book, 2 of them graded, 1 of them a Grade 1. And I don't know. If you want her, you can have her. She's going to be a short price with the connections and the resume. But boy, on speed figures alone, she's she's not even in hailing distance of the trifecta. So let's go inside Simply Ravishing. Oh, well, let me touch on Simply Ravishing, Thoughtfully, and Crazy Beautiful, who are coming out of the Alcibiades race. And I just thought that was a merry-go-round race. I'm sort of throwing it out, and the horse I'm taking out of it is the horse who was the longest, is the longest price on the board there. One of them, Thoughtfully. But Simply Ravishing went to the front, made every pole, won by better than half a dozen, makes the fourth career start, draws the rail in here, has the very good Luis Saez in the saddle. I'm thinking has to go or will go in here. Just go and just see what type of pace you're allowed to set in here. V-Quest makes the fourth career start, won the spin away as a maiden by nearly double digit lengths, followed it up as the beaten 4-5 favorite in the Frisette. Joel Rosario scheduled to ride this horse. He will get the mount for the first time for this offspring of NyQuest. And based on odds, where you have the 2 and the 3 coming out of the Frisette, I want the 8-1 shot in here. Number 3, Day Out of the Office. Well, that sounds like a good idea. 3-3, never been the favorite, won the Schuylerville, won the Frisette, is the second choice on the morning line, an offspring of the brilliant Into Mischief. Thoughtfully, Steve Asmussen runner comes out of the Alcibiades. I thought had no chance on that day. Won on debut at odds on for Steve Asmussen. I'm going to give this offspring a tap in. A long shot under exacta. And I will have a small trifecta ticket. You can't have a big one with 7 runners in here. And Thoughtfully will be in the second and third slot, probably a 1x3x5. And since I won't have Princess Noor or Day Out of the Office in that first slot, might be able to get something out of this 7 horse field. Girl Daddy is definitely my second thought in this race. These are the same folks who owned Not This Time a couple years ago, a very sharp juvenile for Dale Romans. Dale Romans trains this runner. 2-2, recent winner of the one turn, 1 mile Pocahontas at Churchill Downs. That was on September 3rd. Now seeing if this offspring of Uncle Mo can advance in the 2+ month time off. Crazy Beautiful, 4 career starts, always favorite, always second in the recent Alcibiades. And then the aforementioned number 7, Princess Noor. Boy, you watch the races, she's as good as they get. 7-10 in the first 2 career starts, 1-5 in the recently run Chandelier. But boy, figures say she might be 5th best in here. Going to be very interesting to see if she can belie the figures in here. But for me, it's all 2-5. And then a little bit with the 4. Maybe I'll take the Alcibiades, the 1-4-6. I got to tell you, I don't know that I'll have Princess Noor in my trifecta. Because I am going to have an exacta with V-Quest and Girl Daddy. And Thoughtfully, that'll kind of be a 3-horse exacta box for me. And one of the things about having not only your handicapping work done, but really writing down your wagering thoughts will give me a chance to really focus on the probable pays for the exacta in the juvenile filly and see if maybe in a 7-horse field with a short, horse under 2-1 as the favorite, there's big money to be made. You know, I take nothing for granted in the Breeders' Cup. I'm not saying a 14-horse field won't make you rich, but maybe a 7-horse field on Friday is the race that puts you in the black for the 2020 Breeders' Cup. So, short field in one of the original 7 with a favorite that I just think is really needs to be looked at thoroughly. The penultimate race on Friday afternoon is the Juvenile Filly Turf in here, and full field with some also eligibles in here, and a race that, I mean, I truly like the horse that I like. It's a little bit of a reach, but, you know, if you're ever going to have opinions on Breeders' Cup time, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, very few public handicappers have probably had their horses that they have liked and backed and finished in the second half of the result field. But you only got to hit one or two of these folks. And big field in here, going the mile. I didn't mention it earlier, but, you know, it's going to be about a trip. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of racing room here. There won't be the rails up, so there'll be as much racing room as possible. And swinging wide at Keeneland, we'll see. You know, off the top of my head, you would think that the, you know, entire turf course is going to be firm, hasn't been raced on. Inside is the shortest way around the course. They weren't supposed to have any rain in the second part of the week, and they're expecting it to be actually nice weather, so hopefully it'll dry out. So watch the races and see if you come up with something. I'll just point this out. A couple years ago, with my good friend and colleague Brian Addo, we got to the Breeders' Cup mile on Saturday, and, you know, I had been focused on another horse completely, and I just turned to Brian and said, this race is all tourists. He's going to get the trip down inside, and, you know, he's going to be a, you know, I think $26 winner. And I had been focused on another horse for like 3 days. Matter of fact, I had called in to Seth Merrill, and one of my favorite, you know, horses of the weekend was running the Breeders' Cup mile. But boy, I saw the way the turf was playing. I'm like, you know, this race is going to set up for tourists. So watch the races. And as I said earlier, I'm going to be committed to my original thought, because I don't want to change my mind, and my original thought that I worked with for a week were right and I didn't get paid. Changing your thoughts should be add-ons to your original thoughts. This is a bankroll weekend. This is the best weekend for horse players annually. So you get to what I think is a wide, wide open 14 horse field in the Juvenile Filly Turf. And how people get through the horizontals, I have no idea. But let's go through these, because as I'm looking here, here is a 3-1 morning line favorite. That seems a little reasonable. I thought maybe Campanile would be the favorite in here, but we'll get to her in a little bit. Let's start races just about half Euros and half United States runners, tilting a little bit towards the United States, but starting with the Euros from the rail, Umadada, 20-1 on the morning line. Finished third at better than 20-1 in the recently run Group 1 Moyglare stud. And just, you know, Shale and Pretty Gorgeous, who finished in front, you know, they might be two serious runners in here. So that third place finish at 20-1 on the morning line might be a little look-see, even though, as I mentioned on others, you know, sometimes when they're big prices and run well, you get a worse price next time out. Miss Amulet makes the eighth career start. This is a quick runner, and I don't think she's quick just by European standards. I think she's going to be part of the pace in here from the inside. Most recently, in the Group 1 Judmont at Newmarket in September, the two pace runners, Alcohol Free and Miss Amulet, ended up running 1-2. This filly has never run a step beyond 6 furlongs. Julian Leperoux, named to ride. Number 3 is Alda, making the 5th career start. Recent runner-up at 5-2 in the Natal Mistakes. That's a one-turn mile up at Keeneland. She goes 2 turns for the first time. Plum Alley, I thought an impressive even-money winner of the Miss Grillo most recently. Christophe Clement's runner is 3-for-3 lifetime, is the co-second choice. And the morning line favorite is number 5, Aunt Pearl, who has been every step in front of her first two career starts. including winning the recently run Jessamine at Keeneland. She was 9-5 in the debut, 3-2 in the stakes debut. She certainly, understandably, is one of the shorter priced horses. I was a little surprised at the morning line favorite for Brad Cox, but so be it. Nazuma makes the fifth career start. Recent runner-up in a Group 2 at Newmarket. Tragonal goes out for Richard Baltus. And the recently run Supergirl was last early along the rail at 25-1. Got out to just get beat a neck. Comes in at 20-1 here. Mother Earth, Aidan O'Brien's European runner. Recent third place finish in a Group 1 race at Newmarket. Madone goes out for Simon Callahan, 3-3. Double digit odds. Recent winner of the Surfer Girl at even money. Campanile, I thought Wesley Ward's runner would be the favorite. On debut was a winner at Gulfstream Park. And as Wesley Ward really has shown the way with his juveniles, goes over to the Royal Ascot meet, scored once again. Took blinkers off for the Prix Mornay, one of the premier mile races for juveniles in Europe, at Deauville in August, and won at 8-5. Makes the first start since then. Frankie Dettori gets the mount. Now she could be very tough in here as she goes beyond six furlongs for the first time. She's won on the firm turf, but she did soft turf at Deauville. Royal approval, Wesley Ward's other runner, recent winner of the Matron Stakes at 1-2 at Belmont. Spanish Love Affair, Mark Cassie's runner, was undefeated before running into Aunt Pearl in the Jessamine Stakes. Union Gables, Todd Pletcher's runner, set the pace in the recently run Matron to finish second. An editor at large hit the board in the Miss Grillo in her second career start. Draws the outside for Chad Brown. For me, I like a horse very much in here. Aldo, number three in here for Graham Motion and John Velasquez, who rode this horse at Belmont in early July to victory. Did not ride her in either stake start up at Woodbine. You know, I thought the Natalma, where Aldo was no threat at all to the winner, beaten three quarters of a length, no threat. But boy, I thought this filly relaxed and settled on the back stretch very nicely in the Natalma. This will be the fifth career start in the hands of the brilliant Graham Motion. We think of him as a very patient trainer. And I think Aldo is coming up to a very good performance. Whether it's good enough to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, I don't know. But she's already displayed a quality that I think is necessary, which is patience without losing her mind. She's in brilliant hands in the morning and in the afternoon. Double-digit odds. I have Aldo as a major player in here. Campanile, to me, is a very legitimate European threat in here. For me, I wasn't looking at any of the other Euros. And they're all long prices in here, but I really think this is going to be a race dominated by the Americans. And the American that I want a little bit more than Ali or the Aunt Pearls, who will be in the second and third slot for me for Trifecta, but the price horse that I want also in the second and third is Editor at Large. We draw the outside in here for Chad Brown's runner in the brilliant hands of Javier Castellano. It's going to be about getting the trip. I think, you know, at the start, we're just going to drop over and get position in the hands of Javier, and then it's just going to be, you know, is she good enough? But in their third start for Chad Brown, I'm expecting good things. So for me, Alda is the key in here. Probably will be Campanile joining her if they don't go crazy on the odds board with her. An Editor at Large will be the other horse that I will be keying with the Plum Alley and the Ant Pearls. I think they're legitimate short price horses in what I think is a wide open juvenile filly turf 14 in. And wrapping it up on Friday, the race that kicked off the Breeders' Cup in 1984, Chief's Crown winning at Hollywood Park. But now on Future Stars Day on Friday, it wraps up Friday's card scheduled, you remember, with the clocks going back, 5:15 post time for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. 14 in here, a deserved short price favorite. Let's go through these. Camp Hope, impressive maiden winner. King Fury, impressive maiden winner, recent winner of the Street Sense. And by recent winner, I mean a rarity in today's day and age, October 25th at Churchill Downs. Reinvestment Risk, one on debut, getting a 90 buyer speed figure, has followed it up with just about the same when being runner-up to Jackie's Warrior. Likeable, Todd Pletcher's runner, impressive winner of the maiden, going the one-turn mile. Essential Quality, one going two turns in the Breeders' Futurity at 9-5 after winning at debut at 9-5 for Brad Cox. This is a Godolphin runner, an offspring of the great Tappet. Keep me in mind, they're going to add blinkers for this maiden making the third career start. Jackie's Warrior, the focus of this race is Jackie's Warrior. 7-5 on the morning line. Buyer speed figures have gone up each and every time in four career starts. Won the Champagne very impressively, a triple-digit buyer speed figure. Is the horse to beat in here, will be the favorite, and will be trying something for the first time, which is two turns. Class here for Bob Baffert. Won on debut in the one career start in late October at Santa Anita. Sitting on go, Dale Roman's runner. Won the Iroquois most recently, and by recently I mean Labor Day weekend. These are the same folks that owned Not This Time. Dreamer's Disease is an allowance winner at Keeneland and seems to be a little bit of a reach, something that I particularly don't say very often. Next is next for Wesley Ward, an impressive winner of allowance racing off the turf. What that'll get you here, I don't know. Hot Rod Charlie, in the fourth career start, broke the maiden, now takes on winners. Okay. Rumbauer, won on debut going a mile at Del Mar on the turf, ran off the board in a listed stakes race on the turf at Del Mar, and then first time dirt for the offspring of Twirling Candy, ran second in the American Farrell, the old Norfolk Stakes, the old Front Runner Stakes. Looking at the comments in the Daily Racing Form, off a bit slow, bumped at the brake, bobbled at the brake. Okay. And then Calibrate for Steve Askmussen. Impressive on debut, beaten at 2-1 in the Breeders' Futurity. This race focuses on Jackie's Warrior. There's really so much to like, but for me, we're going to have a short price going two turns for an offspring of McLean's Music. That's pushing me another direction, folks, and I'm not afraid at all, and I will even say that Reinvestment Risk, who was lost twice to Jackie's Warrior, draws inside. Maybe this is the time. But the two that I am keying on are Sitting on Go, making the third career start, first time two turns, but 12-1 on the morning line, and Rumbauer, making the second career start on dirt, an offspring of Twirling Candy. And Javier Castellano gets the mount for the first time. Mike Smith rode this horse in the American Farrell. If you haven't heard, Mike is not going to be at the Breeders' Cup. To me, it's, you know, the question of Jackie's Warrior, I don't want answered at a short price. Sitting on Go, to me, is a very realistic second or third choice at 12-1. So for me, makes it a first choice. Rumbauer, love the debut on dirt. Love the fact that this horse has only raced going two turns. Now, I draw the outside, but I'm thinking we'll have every chance to get over and save ground. So, Rumbauer, sitting on go are going to be my key horses in here. Underneath, you know, Jackie's Warrior, can't cut up your nose to spite your face, reinvestment risk, essential quality will be in there for me. But, you know, I am expecting a big run out of sitting on go and Rumbauer. It might not be good enough. If Jackie's Warrior can transfer his one-turn prowess into two-turn, he's going to be very tough in here. But I'm not paying the freight to find out. In Friday's Breeders' Cup Juvenile, I'm going to be sitting on go and Rumbauer.